You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. Mail It In Friday, brought to you by SportsMarketplace.ca. The place to buy and sell all things sports. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Future headlines later in the hour. Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider at 6:25. Dave Poulin in studio to kick off the hour.
Here to congratulate O, actually.
How about that?
Just congratulations. Flat out congratulations. Huge effort.
Four pounds, man. He's moving.
What did the text say from the trainer, Andrew?
Well, I don't want to say his full name because his reputation is on the line here.
Exactly. What if you...
Okay, his first name's Andrew.
Yeah, he sent me... he said, hey, Brian, it's Andrew, Jeff's personal trainer, as if I was going to think it was somebody else. His weight today was 263.2 pounds, down 4.2 pounds in 2 weeks. Very precise. Very precise.
A lot of heat on Andrew.
That is.
That's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
He came back at 270.
Trust me, I felt it before that number was coming up. I'm like, he's going to be pissed too. Because the days I'm not with him, he gives me the workout, like with YouTube videos, the whole nine. It's all very well done. And if I don't do it, I know he's going to say, you haven't been doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all the heat's on the conditioning guy. No question. We had a conditioning coach in Philadelphia, kind of a legendary guy, Pat Croce was his name, who ended up going on and owning the 76ers. He went from being the conditioning coach to owning the team.
Wow.
Great story.
How'd he pull that off?
He was a physical therapist, athletic trainer who built a business outside of when he was working with us. And he built rehab centers and then partnered with doctors, built it into an empire, sold it to a huge conglomerate, made a couple $100 million and bought the Sixers.
Wow.
Unreal story.
So he's with the Sixers, but still in a conditioning coach capacity. He was both ours and they won the NBA championship in 83. In 84, they had the fourth overall pick in the draft because they'd made a trade. They wanted Charles Barkley. So they sent Croce down to see Barkley. And then they brought Barkley up. He was 310 pounds in college at Auburn, the round mound of rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to him, Croce pulled him aside, and he's trying to, you know, build a relationship with him. He says, look, they're going to take you fourth overall here. They're a championship team. You could win championships. You know, Dr. J and Moses Malone, all these guys. So you got to lose 10 pounds before the draft to show us you're serious about basketball.
You put on 10?
Chuck said, I went home and ate everything in sight. I did not want to go to Philly.
Well, it didn't work. They took him anyway.
But he was at like 265 when he was winning the rebounding championships. And he's not, he's 6'4 and a half.
He's not a tall guy. Like he is, relatively speaking, but not in the NBA.
No.
He's like, it's like Draymond Green. Because the NBA has implemented a new rule where it's no more doctoring heights.
So you got to be true.
You actually, there's got to be witnesses there. No
shoes on.
So what's
Draymond coming in at?
Draymond's at 6'5 now.
Well, don't you remember in junior hockey when you were doing a height? I would height everyone was standing on their toes.
Right on
everybody
the toes.
Stand on their toes, and if you were a light guy, guys were putting weights in their pockets.
Yeah, every time. But now I guess he's at 6'5". Where I believe he used to be listed at like 6'8 or 6'9.
Right.
So he's really 6'5.
Well, you shrink as you get older.
But I don't know why it would matter. You're already, you know, like an all defensive player, champion. Yeah. Who cares? You know, you're 6'5.
And when people meet you, they sort of know right away, don't they?
Right. And you're a giant to anybody you meet for the most part. 6'5, 6'8, you're still going to be perceived as a pretty big guy.
So, what time of the day did you weigh in?
10 a.m.
And did you have a single ounce of anything before that?
Two cups of coffee. My workout was garbage because I had no energy. I was starving.
I always work out on an empty stomach.
What did you eat after the weigh-in?
I just had a smoothie and then kind of standard lunch. Nothing
spectacular.
Well, this nonsense that came in here after.
Domino's here.
I don't even want to eat anything bad this weekend because I already feel bad.
Yeah, we got Domino's.
I had four pieces. I was starving.
I've been eating a lot. A lot. And we got a lot to eat this weekend, right? With Thanksgiving.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah, it's a big weekend. A big one.
Jamie, what is your, do you have any issues? Have you ever worried about a weigh-in at any point?
Yes, because I was skinny fat. So you always, I wasn't worried about the weigh-in as much as the body fat because I always struggled to just be, I was just 10. I was, and you hit double digits, you're in the fat farm. You know, they make you ride the bike.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Mike Keenan's making you ride at 12% back then.
Right. So now when I was my recent, like I say, last five or six years, if you were at 10, if you were 10.1, you were perceived in the fat farm. So you'd have to do everything and then ride an extra 30 minutes. If you were 9.9, it was single digits. So I was always 9.2, 9.6. My lowest, I think, was 8.4. Like, I was a guy, I would work out hard. It was the summer I worked out with a Ginla, and we worked out with a runner, a running coach, and he was fantastic. We were a lot leaner and stronger, but, I liked back then my calories were was vodka and stuff like that, late night pizza.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to picture guys when they did the body fat thing with the calipers, and the guys would be leaning way over.
Oh, yeah. And you're fighting with the caliper person. And
well, we were talking about yesterday when Max Domi was in studio with us, and he admitted that he didn't pick up a weight all summer.
No, it's all body.
All he does is run and swim and body jump weight. and body weight. And
when I tried to make a comeback in Carolina, I thought long and hard about just offering the lady $20,000 to give me under 10%. Like, just here's 20, I'll give you $20,000.
You buy a new set of calipers.
Yeah, I don't know.
That number, the calipers for me was always the most nervous thing coming to training camp. And it was that last 2 weeks you would drain yourself of sugar, and it wasn't going on slim fast diet, but it was damn near that.
Did either of you guys play with Dougie Crossman anywhere?
I did. I played in the minors with him.
Speaking of skinny fat, right?
Well, everything with him was about time.
Yeah.
He would get frustrated that that warm-up was 20 minutes back then. He's like, you don't need 20 minutes. You need 12 minutes.
That's but he was the ultimate skinny fat guy, and he would come in, and he'd blow over by like 1.5%. And he'd look at me, and he'd say, oh, I had one brownie last night. I'd say, I don't think it was the one brownie.
Yeah, I don't really think that was the problem.
I think there was some other components involved here.
You've been off all summer.
He could have been in the Olympic bike contest. He was on that bike so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were in Montreal last night.
I was.
We've been talking about the mood in Toronto. You think it's any different in Montreal?
It was pretty good going into the game last night and not as good after the game. And that was the first flat game they've had. And they've played with pretty good pace. I did Carolina, and that was a lightning fast game. Like, unbelievable for first game of the year. And then their next two games, Toronto and Buffalo, spread apart. I think the opening ceremonies took a lot of life out of that building last night.
Forever.
They passed that torch 26 times. I mean, 26 times. They had 26 guys dressed. They had even the non-starters and the injured guys dressed.
I hate those.
Even the cheering crescendo, it started really high. And then about the eighth guy, they're like, yay. And then, and by the last guy, when Carey Price, they saved him for last, and they couldn't even cheer for him. They were so tired of cheering. It was 7 or 8 minutes into the cheering. And I just think it took a lot of the life out of the building, and Detroit ate it up. Detroit's got that one line now that's clicking on every cylinder.
Right. Well, the division is completely out of whack based on projections before the season began, which was a week ago. I mean, it's not like we're sitting here in the new year.
Yeah, but 5 or 6 games in, coaches really start to worry. Because they don't like to see trends, and now they're seeing trends.
Okay, in the Atlantic, which coach is panicking the most?
Q, maybe.
Yeah. They got 2 points. I mean, Florida's 1-2.
They're 1-2, but, I mean, it's the way... I still think Florida will be a playoff team. They'll be fine. But... new setting for the goaltender. You have a couple new players back there, new players in the bottom of the roster in your top, let's say, 9 to 12.
I don't like their D. I didn't have them in the playoffs. I don't like their D. I just don't think their D is good enough.
I think Ekblad is a guy who is a swing. We've all
got to prove it again,
swing.
Right?
Yeah, he's got to swing that way. And, Yandel's a guy who gets 60 points. But
he's going to be great on the power 70, play. But
70 points against.
Yeah.
Matheson, they got.
Yeah, I don't think their D is a playoff caliber D.
Well,
they
think
do something, but
right, I think now, the coach who's most confident right now, probably Cassidy in Boston. I think Cooper still should be as well. I mean, now he's got Braden Point back. Tampa's going to be fine.
They've lost one game.
They've lost, yeah. Well, Tampa's they're 2-1-1.
Right.
Boston's 3-1.
Buffalo's feeling pretty sweet about themselves, right?
Yeah,
now.
But I think they need to. Yeah, they can't be overly confident yet. Right. I guess that's what I'm saying is in Toronto. The last three games have not been ideal. It all started Saturday night with 15 minutes left in the third. You're up 4-1. If you close that, all of a sudden you can look at the St. Louis game and say,
they pass for that.
Played pretty well. They probably could have won that game. So be it. And then last night's at a one-off, so be it. But because
and Brian, everybody's watching to see what's going to happen in Toronto, because it's essentially, it's an outlier model for the salary cap. I mean, yeah. You're paying four guys that play the same position 50% of the cap. You're playing six guys 63% of the cap. So those guys have to be good every night. Like, it can't be like, it's not a balanced lineup and say, okay, well, you know, the third line. They're going to have contributions, but the big guys better be good every night.
Right.
I mean, they have to be.
And two of them have been. Matthews and Nylander have been very good.
Yeah.
Tavares, Marner, Riley have not.
The goalie hasn't been.
And the goalie hasn't either.
And you're just measuring them against themselves. I mean, what do you expect from Morgan Riley? He's gotten better every year. He's a veteran now. He's 7 years in the league. And he's consistent. Like, you don't look at him for wild swings like you did with Jake Gardner.
Right.
You just don't look for those swings. And right now, you're seeing those swings. Now, is he compensating for his partner? Is he trying to do too much?
I think it's a bunch of stuff, Pooley. I think he had a step last year where he was sniffing around. It's almost like he tried to win the Norris Trophy in five games.
First five this year.
Yeah, it's like, I want to get up the ice. I want to be involved. I want to get points. I want to score goals, as opposed to just being himself and letting it come to him.
Yeah, and it'll come back to him. When a guy's in the top five voting for the Norris, you know, first time you're in that major award voting, you go home that summer and you're like, okay, well, what do I have to do different now? Like, how am I going to... You know, how do I get in the top four, the top three, or how do I win in Norris?
Yeah. Right. But the other thing, too, is there is a little turnover with the coaching. Like, what
That's
are they
a lot of turnover, well, not know, a little
but,
turnover.
But what are they telling him? That's the one thing I would say. Like, your defensive coach...
I don't think he needs to be told a whole
no,
lot.
No, but systematically. Like, what are they playing a little bit different? The defensive coach saying to him, now, I want you to be a little bit more proactive. I don't think they're... The rapport isn't there with a new coach as well. Whereas last year's coach, whether it was DJ or Jim Hiller, like, those guys would know him. And if he made a mistake, they probably would have felt a lot more confident going, Morgan, hey, come on. Like, we've talked about this. Where when you have new coaches, you know, is Hakstol going over to him? Is McFarland going over to him and saying, Morgan, pull it together here? You know him for five games.
Well, very different system, too. They're not stretch passing 40 times a game.
Yeah.
Looking for short passes on breakouts, and that's a skill play. Now, it's fine to say look for a short pass. When he had that puck behind the net late in the second period against St. Louis, he had nowhere to go. He had no options. And he threw it out towards the blue line and gets knocked down. It's in his net in the last minute. But he had no options. You know, you can't just look at the defenseman and say, you got to make a pass there.
Right.
You're looking around saying, you know, it's the quarterback. It's like, where are my wide receivers?
Yeah.
They've all gone somewhere that I can't see them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, no, that's the truth. I mean, and
when
it's
narrow down that top, though, you better be good every night.
Yeah, the big
Simply
boys
better be.
Yeah, they're getting paid. They have to be. The way it works out, that's the way the cap system works. If you're going to get paid the most, you've got to perform to it. And quite frankly, if you really want to have success, you probably have to exceed your cap number. Mm-hmm. But that's just not even remotely realistic. Mitch Marner's not going to play like a $15 million player. He can't. Not capable of that. There's like five guys in the league that can do that.
Maybe one.
And so at most, you're getting equal value, which is basically...
So if you get equal value...
What you got last year. The points and the performance.
You essentially need 63% of your output from six players.
Yeah.
Now that includes the goalie. You've got to quantify the output. But you need 63% of your performance numbers from six players. Just pure math.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot of pressure on those guys.
Because if you do go through a tough stretch, 1 week.
Everybody's going to, though, Jamie.
But that's what I'm saying. Right? It happens to just be a couple of the big boys right now that are still finding their way.
And if this happens in November, it's not as magnified as when it happens at the start of the year.
Yeah, right. It's like a baseball.
When it happens at the start of the year, it's like, wow.
You start the season over 20, it is, you're like, am I going to the minors?
But if you do that in
game
late 100 July,
through 120, it's like, nah, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
And these are really good players. We're talking about really, really good players.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave Pullen, our hockey analyst in studio. Patrick Marleau with two last night. And
crazy.
What that said to me was load management. Like that, it just, he didn't have to, play before.
But they don't have the luxury of saying, you know what, take a rest for a week. They are already in dire straits right now.
Right.
No, but him just, I thought it was great because the adrenaline would have been rolling. He was quite emotional. You see in his media, he was quite emotional getting, you know, describing getting the call from Doug Wilson and stuff.
You think it's been taken away from you like that and you get it back?
Yeah, there was some hunger in his game, which is nice. I mean, you know, would you call it that he ended here poorly?
Like, No, it was just...
I think he did his job for the most part. He didn't rely on Patrick Marleau to...
They gave him that extra year, Jamie, and everybody involved probably knew the extra year wasn't going to happen.
Right, including him.
That was the only way to get him here, was that extra year.
Which, in retrospect, clearly was a terrible decision.
No kidding. Kovalchuk, the extra year, his looked terrible from the first game he started.
Yeah, right. Don't give me the in-the-room stuff either. I mean, it's dumb. It cost them a first-round pick for nothing.
The in-the-room stuff doesn't work if you can't play.
No kidding.
You have to be able to play. You have to. And even if you're a fourth-line player, but a really good functional fourth-line player, then it's okay.
Right.
You know, like I think Nate Thompson's a good in-the-room guy for...
Kyle Clifford in L.A., too.
But he's doing what he's always done. But he hasn't slipped to
Thompson's
that.
Thompson's not going to... You're going to hurt your cap. He's not going to hurt...
He's going to win face-offs.
The one thing I say, like, I guess we can talk about it, but would you ask the $11 million players how big of an impact Patrick Marleau had on Austin and Mitch?
You know, I'll be pretty critical for those couple years.
I would
think
just a couple years. Now, what does that mean? I don't know.
But he was also playing pretty well.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he had 20, what did he have his first year here?
He had 27 goals.
Yeah, 27, and then it dropped to 15.
Yeah.
Like at $6 million, it didn't look great on 15. But what are they paying him, 700?
700 grand.
They're going to get probably 10 to 15 on him.
They got a win last night. That might have been worth it in itself.
Right.
Right now.
Well, if he's making 700, he'd still be on the fourth line here in Toronto.
You're right. Six sheets.
At 6.25.
Right.
Obviously, it wasn't compatible. It wasn't going to work. And those guys all think the world of him, but they didn't take discounts so he could stick around.
I was just going to say, that was the one thing that
they didn't care that much.
They could have kept Nazem Kadri at 4.25 instead of Kerfoot at 3.25 if each one of those guys would have taken 500 grand less.
Right.
Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews.
Yeah, but the problem with that is you don't get to decide where the team spends the money.
I agree.
That's the problem.
I'm not saying
that. Then they might have said, we're going to go in this direction and we're going to get somebody else.
I'm not saying Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews cost Nazem Kadri his job here. I'm just saying, like,
philosophically.
Philosophically, exactly. Like, it's $1 million difference between the two players. But that was one of the things that we talked about coming into the season last year. Nobody's built like the Leafs down the middle. You know, there's that strength down the middle on that. Yeah, Kerfoot's a nice player. He's not Kadri. Like, but Kadri, you had to treat him like a third liner here, not a second liner where he is in Colorado, because he played like a third liner last year. He had 16 goals. He was a scarecrow on the power play, too. Where their
power it was a decoy. Nothing. Yeah.
Now where their power play actually has a little bit of movement and trigger guy in the slot if you want to work it there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Patrick Laine with a big night last night. What's your expectation? End of the year.
You know what? I think he could have a monster year, but we always thought that.
Right.
You know, there's a reason he signed a 2-year deal. There's a reason he signed the 1-2-year deal out of that entire group, is because not only does he not know exactly what he is, but the team doesn't know exactly what he is. And there was a fear factor there. This could cost them dearly. And it wouldn't surprise if he put 60 up.
But you hope that he does, because that translates to success for the Jets.
No question.
Like, you're willing to pay that money if you thought he was a double-digit player anyways. You're like, okay, go earn it. The one thing I look at him, he looks lighter and leaner.
He does. He looks like he's moving better.
Right. He looks like he's actually getting to places where...
I like the way the Jets have, like, you know what? Go play with these two guys, and you say you want to play with them.
How about that pass from Scheifele?
Oh, and Scheifele was like, if you get open like that, I will put that on your tape every time when I cross the blue line, it's party time.
Did the issue with him, with those two guys originally, go back 2 years, he never skated in straight lines. And Kyle Connor goes in straight lines, and Kyle Connor was the first one on the forecheck. So they knew every single time Connor was going to be the first one on the forecheck. Laine wasn't going to be the first one on the forecheck. He simply wasn't. Now maybe he's a better all-around player now, and he's adjusted a little bit.
Yeah.
But he likes to go east-west, and Blake Wheeler's going north-south. I mean, he's
a skater.
He's going that
skater.
Way. Yeah. And that's why, I mean, it was as simple as Kyle Connor fit better there. It wasn't that they didn't want to play Laine there. He just fit better.
Yep.
All right, Pooley. Good seeing you, man.
Okay, guys, always a pleasure.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving weekend.
Should be a beauty.
You know what? Spending 30-plus years in the States, and you guys both live there, it is the most festive week of the year, Thanksgiving week.
In the States?
It's the best.
It's 10 times bigger than Christmas there.
It's a week.
Yeah. Canada, they're like, Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's a Monday.
Grab a turkey.
Creeps up on you.
Oh, it's a Thursday down there, but it really starts the weekend before.
Yeah.
Because everybody blows off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I've said it for 100 years. The best bar night is the Wednesday night because everybody's home from out of town. There's different sights and scenes.
What's Raleigh like on a Wednesday night Thanksgiving?
Having the time of his life.
It's great friends.
It is the biggest college party night, but the college kids are partying in their hometowns.
Yeah, they're back home.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. 22-year-old O-Dog with a million sheets in the bank.
Having the time of his life.
All right, Pooley. Good seeing you, man.
Have a good weekend.
Party like an American this weekend.
Yeah.
This is Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst. Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider on the game last night, teeing up the rest of the weekend in the NFL. Future headlines later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, future headlines later in the hour up on TSN 2. We'll reveal the tape as well of the grappler trying to basically get out of the studio after the weight reveal. And it wasn't necessarily subtle. Very unprofessional, quite frankly. And he couldn't get out.
No, he's a...
It was like Tommy Boy trying to, like, I don't know what it was.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
It was ugly. So we'll play that later in the hour. Last night, it got ugly for the Giants, but it was a pretty close game there for a while. Daniel Jones, I think, we had no expectations for him.
I know, but were you at all worried for New England?
No, they were going to win the game. I just didn't think they were going to cover the number.
Oh, that's what you were worried about.
They cover the number. They cover every single week. The number's always 17, 18, 20, 20 and a half.
A lot.
Covering the number. They're 6-0. And here's our NFL insider, writer with The Athletic, and host of the GM Shuffle podcast, Michael Lombardi. What's up, Michael?
How you doing? You were worried about them covering? They had it all the way.
There was
never a doubt.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
What's up with their schedule? I thought the Super Bowl winners just like had this awful schedule where their opponents were top-end opponents week after week. For the Pats this year, it just seems like a cakewalk.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they're playing the NFC East, right? So you got Washington, and they got the New York Giants. Now, you know, they guys still have to play. They have to play Dallas and they have to play Philly. So those will be two games. And then, you know, I think they have the South. So they have the North of the AFC. So that's Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. So and then they got their other games that they have to play. So look, one thing about schedules, I never look at schedules to figure out how your season's going to go, because you could be playing the best team in the league. If they lose their quarterback, they're not the best team anymore. And I think a team like the Rams, who have really had some injuries, they lose Clay Matthews, their offensive line's beat up, maybe they're not so good. This week, the 49ers go to play the Rams. They don't have either starting tackle, right or left tackle. Now, that could be a problem.
Sticking with the Pats, Gronk made his debut on television last night. What do you think his end game is? Do you think it's just... Because a lot of guys don't do TV, saying, I'm going to do this for 2 months, and then, you know what, I'm going to join the Patriots again. But I kind of think that's what he might be up to. Where do you think Gronk's game plan is at?
You know, I think it's worldwide wrestling. I really don't. Look, he's probably had 10 texts a day from Tom Brady. He's probably had 20 from Julian Edelman, right? So they've all wanted him to come back. And yet, look at his body. Do you think he's ready to go back and play football? I don't. You know, and I think
why do you say that? Because I when I look at him, I think he looks jacked.
He looks thin as hell. He's very thin. He looks like a power forward in basketball, you know, and he hasn't had any contact. I think, you know, and Gronk last year wasn't Gronk. Gronk last year wasn't the player that we remember. He made the great play in the Super Bowl on the seam on that catch. But for the most part, he was really more blocker than he was receiver. Now, they could use that, don't get me wrong, but you're going to have to get in shape to do that.
With Michael Lombardi, your NFL insider, what are you seeing out of Tom Brady?
I see a poor guy that's 42 years old that's out there playing with guys that might be in the Arena League. I mean, other than Julian Edelman, you know, he loses Dorsett, he's off the field. Josh Gordon gets hurt. Antonio Brown gets hurt. Everybody said Antonio Brown was a luxury item for the Patriots, right? That's what the word, that was the talk of the town when he was there, right? He's a luxury item. Why do they need him? No, we know now why they need him. He wasn't a luxury item. He was a necessity. He was not an add-on. He was incredibly important because losing Gronk, they don't have anybody who can dominate the middle of the field. They have James White and they have Julian Edelman. They need one more guy. And then all of a sudden, Antonio Brown made Edelman better. He made Dorsett better. He made Josh Gordon better. He made James White better. Now, right now, they don't have that inside receiver. Their left tackle, Isaiah Wynn's on IR. Their first-round pick, Keneal Harry's not playing. So those are things that are really difficult to overcome. I mean, they're a wounded team, and Tom's trying to hold this thing together. Now, the one thing we do know, Bill Belichick will have the team better. He'll have them much better by December.
Yeah.
With Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider, big game in Kansas City this weekend. Houston, who have been very up and down all year, right? Like last week, Deshaun Watson put on a clinic. The week before, he couldn't pull off a first down. But Mahomes all of a sudden is under the microscope, losing last week badly at home. They barely got out of Detroit with a win. If Houston gets a win in Kansas City on Sunday, what's the NFL saying about the Chiefs?
Well, the NFL's saying about the Chiefs, whether they win or lose this game, is you're going to have to stop being the fat guy at the buffet line. You can't eat fast, right? You're going to have to take your time. The Chiefs' defense is playing about 35 minutes a game. That's way too much, right? You got to play complementary football when your one side of the ball isn't very good. And for the Chiefs to only play 25 minutes because they score so fast and they rapidly can put points on the board, the problem is you're giving your defense back out on the field. The other team's controlling the pace of the game. They need to go back and control the pace of the game. They need to understand their defense is not very good. They've got to control the pace. They can't be in a hurry all the time. Stick a couple runs in there. Let the clock work in your favor. Rest your defense, because the best way for them to play good defense is to play less defense.
Well, the thing is about Mahomes, you know, I love him just like everyone loves him. If you watch him play, you love him. But the hyperbole over the last 3 or 4 weeks has just been off the charts, like greatest quarterback that we've ever seen. When he gets outside of the pocket, he makes throws that I've maybe never seen before. You know, Favre used to make a few of them, but he can throw off the wrong foot, across his body 50 yards and find somebody open. So it jumps off the screen at you. But if he can't get outside of the pocket and somehow they contain him, or if he's injured, what's he going to be like as a pocket passer? Can he win an MVP from the pocket?
I think that's a great observation. You're one of the first people that has ever asked that question to me, and it's the best question of all. That's exactly what has to happen. When he can get out of the pocket, all of a sudden down and distance doesn't matter, and every blade of grass is in play. But when he's in that pocket, like New England forced him to stay in that pocket in that playoff game, all of a sudden balls got tipped. The receivers didn't have the ball where they needed it to catch it. They were missing third downs. You got him off the field. Now, look, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But when he gets out of that pocket, he becomes a great player times two. And if you rush him better, what people don't understand about NFL quarterbacks, it goes to Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. It really doesn't matter. How you rush them is what affects them, not how you cover the receivers. They've seen all the coverages. They understand where to go with the ball. They can throw it into tight windows. But what they can't handle is pressure inside. They can't handle people in their face. They can't handle when they can't get out of the pocket. Look, Baker Mayfield's had 35 passes this year have been touched by the defense, whether it's a defensive lineman, a linebacker, or a secondary player. Mahomes has only had 8. But with Baker Mayfield, the reason he's getting so many passes touched is because he's in shotgun all the time. They're rushing him a different way. If they put him under center in a play-action pass game, he would get less passes touched because he would have more clear windows to throw the ball through.
The Bengals, Dolphins, Jets, or Redskins, who breaks the bagel?
You know, I would think the Redskins might break it. They're actually decent on defense. The Bengals are just not very good. I mean, look, the Bengals had a chance to beat Seattle, and the Bengals had a chance to beat Buffalo, so I shouldn't say that. You know, the Bengals could easily be 2-3. I mean, a couple things go the right way in Seattle, and then Buffalo, they've got a chance. They're leading that game 17-14 with 8 minutes to go in the fourth. So, you know, I think that Miami, I'm not sure Miami's going to be able to break that. I think Washington has a chance to do that. I think they probably will.
Enjoy the weekend, Michael. We'll do it again next Friday.
Guys.
Thank you. There's Michael Lombardi, longtime NFL executive and writer at The Athletic and our NFL insider.
I'll tell you what, you had just a rebound in this industry that is second to none.
That was trading in the, what was it called, the mutton chops or whatever, when Lloyd Christmas trades in the truck for the scooter. Like, I totally redeemed myself. Because
this is what happened early on. I was like, okay, you're talking NFL, you're in your groove, and I thought you had a health problem or something, because listen to this.
Bill Belichick will have the team better. He'll have a much better by December.
Yeah.
That was me.
We have Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider.
Here's what happened, okay?
I tried to buy time. Listen to this delay. Go ahead.
That is significant. Go ahead.
Bill Belichick will have the team better. He'll have a much better by December.
Yeah.
With Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider.
That's a timer. Delay. We need an actual timer.
I'm
on
looking
that.
At it. That's a 4-second delay.
That 4 seconds because of dead air.
Nuno said, yeah, and I'm like, okay, we got to come up with something here because you're out.
Well, I was listening, but I was like, I'm waiting for you, and I'm like, he's not even listening.
Here's what happened twice to me, because it happened twice.
Okay.
The first time, I didn't have my mic on. I thought I had my mic on.
Okay.
So I was sitting like this, and then I was about to go, and then I fumbled, and I was like, I got to turn my mic on. For whatever reason, I had turned it off.
That took a second.
That took a second. But the pause that time, I made the mistake. I took my earphones out.
Both?
I took them out for 2 seconds so I couldn't hear the feed, and he was still talking. By the time I put it in...
He was done.
He was done.
My favorite is when Noodles tried to keep it together with a,
I know, you could have really saved the ship and been like, well, yeah, it's a good point. I agree with you. Just to buy some time.
But you spaced out, but then he came back with a response to one of your questions.
Mahomes, like I'm breaking down
Let's
the
have a listen to the like the comeback.
What's he going to be like as a pocket passer? Can he win an MVP from the pocket?
I think that's a great observation. You're one of the first people that has ever asked that question to me, and it's the best question of all. That's exactly what has to happen.
I mean, that's Rocky Balboa versus Drago coming back.
You were on the mat. Like,
you were just bouncing around the ring, and he was dummying you, and you came back.
That was, you know what the first two were? You know in WWF?
Yeah.
The arm's got to drop three times?
Exactly. The third time.
The third time I got that arm up.
And did it to Kimbe Mutombo.
Yeah. It was a Hulkster. Hulkster was the best at that. He's getting choked out.
Yeah.
Drops the first one.
Second one.
Second one, the earphones were out.
Yeah.
The third one was the Mahomes question. And I am back up with the big boot.
I tried to save you, but I don't know why.
But that's not a save. Just saying yeah is not a save.
Well, I was
looking
at you.
I was so uncomfortable because I had nothing queued up, and I'm like, I want to run out of this room. Can I hear it one more time?
I had my question.
Play it again here, Mullen.
Yeah, play it again.
Belichick will have the team better. He'll have a much better by December.
Yeah.
With Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider. And that, actually, you know what? That is a save. That's a radio trick. Like, when I got back in, it was a reset. Yeah. I didn't fire off a question. It was with Michael Lombardi or, you got to reset and recalibrate.
Okay, all right.
But you're not what? Like, he was waiting to give you.
You're not getting an award.
No, I'm not asking for one. I'm just saying that speaks to how out of it I was.
You were going
to
get a Bruce Boudreaux.
Yeah.
Hello?
That's not far off. Do you know how? That's a panic. If you're on the line with a professional radio program.
And you don't hear anything.
And you don't hear them. You just assume they dropped you.
Yeah.
Hello?
Imagine he gave us a Brucey Boudreaux.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, hello.
He must have been uncomfortable. Like, what the hell are these guys doing?
Oh, amateur hour.
No, you know.
It was my own fault. I took my earphones out, and I couldn't hear the feed, and he stopped talking.
Now, there are, I'm not going to throw the radio host under the bus, but I do phoners. And when I do phoners, sometimes I know the mic goes off and the guy is live tweeting or whatever. Not
I know exactly
attention.
Who you're talking about.
Right? He's out west?
From your hometown. I've been on his show.
And I've called him out on it a few times because I will be talking and then all of a sudden I'm done and it's the 3-second delay and it comes back on.
I hate to be this guy because we're always using movie references and TV references forever.
Right.
And I'm sure half the audience is like, that makes no sense. But remember in Wayne's World 2 when they're in there doing the interview with Handsome Dan?
Yes.
He's like, like, yeah. And then
he's
Wayne's like, you're not even listening to me right now, are you?
That's exactly what that radio host does.
Yeah. I know exactly who it is. I've been on there. But, and then you get off, you look at your Twitter feed, and he's tweeted out 17 different
live
tweets
live
that
tweeting.
You had to say on the show.
So,
get that scene from Wayne's World 2.
But yeah, that was... I thought I was throwing you a bone by going,
No, I needed more than that. Man.
Well, I had my question queued up, but I thought you were ready to go.
You didn't know what you were doing.
I was trying to buy time.
I took my earphones out. I'm telling you what happened. And then when I got in, I panicked. I had to turn my mic back on.
And you were gone. You
could have helped out,
no,
too.
No, I thought you had another thing queued up. So I'm in space. And then I'm like, what the hell's going on
here?
Bad. And
that
Noodle comes in with his yeah. And then I'm like,
yeah, yeah. About 2 seconds in. It was an awkward delay. And then I was like,
I wanted to run out of the room. I'm like... This is awful.
It was
He's
really
gonna
awkward.
Hang up.
He may never come back on.
No.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back and we'll get to future headlines.
I gotta hear that one more time.
We'll come back and play it, and then we'll get the Wayne's World clip so that you can understand what we're talking about. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so we gotta get to our future headlines here in a moment. Get to our best bets as well. Try to get to this Wayne's World clip. Try to get to the clip of the grappler trying to sneak out of the studio after the balloon weight reveal.
Balloon gate.
Absolutely. Future Headlines is brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, the place to buy and sell all things sports. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Future Headlines. The Leafs clean it up and beat the Wings with an eye on defense tomorrow night. Or Toronto and Detroit turn that game into another pond hockey game.
I say pond hockey. I say up and down, way you go. Yeah. And I don't know why I think that. I told you yesterday it was going to be a blowout, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think you said Tampa.
I said I'm not sure which way it's going to go, but it's a blowout one
yeah,
way
you
or
did.
The other.
And it was. Tampa, yeah. Blowout. Yeah, I think pond hockey tomorrow night. I think the Leafs are going to win, but I could see 5-4 back and forth.
Yeah.
Heroics in the third.
So what
That's
do they
what
have?
I see.
They have Detroit, Minnesota, Washington.
And Boston next Saturday night.
Yeah.
At home. They got a tough schedule. They got Boston twice, I believe, this month. I think they still have Tampa again this month.
Yeah.
Like, well, they got some real teams that they're going to have to play against.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
All right.
Just it's I think they're going to have a bit of a track meet tomorrow.
Okay. Future headline, the O-Dog sticks to the diet all weekend long, or the O-Dog straps on a Thanksgiving feed bag for the ages.
No, there's no, this weekend is my weekend off. I'll try to sneak in a couple workouts, but I'm going to meet my brother right now, play some golf tomorrow. It's going to be boys time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I will say, and a lot of people think I'm an idiot and this is all goofy, but it's actually motivating because... You know the numbers coming up. Don't embarrass yourself. So I'm looking forward to getting back at it.
Yep. Yeah.
And
2 weeks. Al's brother will be in here for the reveal.
Yeah, because exactly. We can't have Grappler because he was crawling around.
Yeah, yeah. Play the video up on TSN 2 of the Grappler trying to
this guy.
Get out of the studio. Look at, okay, we've got it isolated. Look at him. And he gets stuck.
Yeah, because he's...
He's Garth trying to get off the grass. That is outstanding.
You're stuck to the roof.
Yeah, just stealth.
Yeah.
You should be a bank robber in your spare time, Grappler.
There's been some ugly moments today. I just had a brain freeze with Michael Lombardi.
I thought it was fantastic.
Let's hear this one.
Let's hear the clip.
Bill Belichick will have the team better. He'll have them much better by December.
Yeah. With Michael Lombardi, our NFL
Man,
insider. That's like a 5-second delay.
I think it's 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I say yeah in there to try and break it up, but it's at least 5 seconds.
And it made us think of Wayne's World 2, when they're in studio trying to promote, like, Wayne stock.
Yeah.
And this was the scene that was going on between Wayne, Garth, and Handsome Dan.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, well, work is hard.
You're not really listening to me, are you?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could say anything right now, like, you're a complete tool.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't hear it, because you're a freak with a microphone.
Uh-huh.
Old school radio, Handsome Dan.
I love it, Handsome Dan.
And remember the screaming Carl or whatever was the other guy, and he was like a really good looking guy. What was his name, Mr. Scream?
Mr. Scream.
Mr. Scream.
That's awesome.
I gotta be honest with you, like you guys, the movie references and the Seinfeld, I'm just not in on any of it.
Yeah, it's too much. I know it's too much. I know we shouldn't do it because 90% of the audience probably doesn't get the reference.
Like, when you guys get into that, I'm thinking you're the only person in the world and you're the only You're the
People
only two that would
time.
Know what each other's talking about.
Mullen knows.
Mullen knows.
Grappler probably knows. Wayne's World 2 is a big, you know, like pop culture
Seinfeld
phenomenon.
Seinfeld is...
The biggest.
The biggest. Everyone knows Seinfeld.
You've got to know
Sopranos.
Sopranos.
People know Sopranos. Like all of these shows. The only one we don't really know, not yet, is Game of Thrones. I got to get to it.
I'll never watch that.
It's died down pretty quickly. Like it ended and it is gone.
Yeah, I think people.
The horny guy flying around on a dragon.
Yeah, I'm gonna get into
how
it.
How good can that be?
He's never on the dragon.
What?
He's never on the dragon.
Apparently, he's hitting up tugs, and he who knows what.
That's early on, but he had a proclivity for some.
Having the time of his life.
Yeah, he was up to no good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
There's no denying that.
It's tough to find the neon lights outside in that time of life.
Back, thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the board, NFL prop bets, Washington, -3.5 at Miami.
Ooh, is that ever a dumpster bowl?
Awful game. But new coach, Billy Callahan's down there. We had Lombardi on earlier. You just spilt that Coke all over your phone, your iMac or MacBook.
Because we have to hide the drinks after or behind it.
Let's get out.
At least it's a Diet Coke. It's a diet.
It is.
We're moving in the right direction here.
460, 455 next week.
Yeah. I'm on the Niners covering at the Rams, and I'm on Arizona at home. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We're going to be in here on Monday.
Yes, listen.
Do not forget that. 263.2.
Yes.
Gary Thorne, Diet Coke all over the place.
255, here we come.
All right, exactly. We're out of here. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clear Out sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. That's like paying only $75 a week.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.